And I think for the next steps, Howard, we have to start focusing on what is important. We have been too many things to too many people for too long.
What do you mean?
And that is, we offer 160 programs right now at the university. And I think that that really stretches our resources. And I'm not sure that the quality of every one of those programs can be maintained at the highest level without significant investment. And so I think we have to go through a process of evaluating what that looks like and really making tough decisions about investing significant resources in areas where we can excel and where we know that there's a need. And I think that's a complicated process that we have to go through, though, in order to really make sure that we're there. In 2019, 2020, we'll have an accreditation visit. That always takes up a significant amount of time on the campus. We've started to prepare for that already because I believe that that visit should simply be another day on campus because we are doing the things that we said we were going to do, and we're in the process of doing that. The physical plant, vision-wise, is the other thing that I'd like to see us be able to refurbish over the course of the next decade. There are iconic buildings on campus, but at the same time, from a facility point of view, in terms of what they present for the students and faculty and staff, they can be improved. And especially in an era like this where technology is very important in terms of how the education is basically being provided, we have to be able to meet that. And then there's some innovative and what I'd like to refer to as some out-of-the-box things where we're going to have to take some risk. Hopefully next summer we'll send some faculty to the front lines of various industries and hope that they will glean and garner data that they could come back and impact on their curriculum. And I think that that is going to be an innovative thing for us to do. So you have a professor who's been here for 20 years teaching a particular class in finance. I think putting him or her on the front line as a financial analyst at a firm with other interns, observing what it is they do, what really matters, and then being able to come back and adjust and change your course so that it's more contemporary and suitable to what is actually happening today. I think that makes our graduates that much more attractive to industry, and I think it makes us more attractive to industry to come and invest in a Howard University as well. We'll celebrate our 150th year on March 2nd, 2017, and that's a major milestone for any university. But certainly for a Howard University, I think we have to really relish in that. That celebration must be a look forward as well. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to secure the new Smithsonian National Museum for African American History and Culture on the day of our Charter Day.
Oh, wow.
March 2nd, 2017. Okay. That'll be an invitation-only event. And then the next night at the Capitol Hilton, we'll have our usual Black Tie Charter Day gala with a little twist this year. And we're really trying to focus on the fundraising aspect of what we will be doing. So, I think it's 2017 is shaping up to be quite a fantastic year for us.
Yeah, that sounds like some great planning. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that as we get closer. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Eric calling from Bethesda. Thanks for calling, Eric. What's on your mind?
Hi, Eric Walcott here. I want to compliment President Wayne Fedrick for his vision and what he has brought to Howard University in terms of all the innovations and a commitment to excellence. One of the things I would like to touch on and probably ask is we have a tremendous alumni all across the globe, and we don't necessarily leverage that alumni. And so I wondered, one of the things that we really probably need to do is to celebrate that network through having a real international affairs center, which we do not have at Howard University. I want to get the thoughts of the president on that. The other thing I've taken note of is that we do not have a mascot on campus, Mr. President. So I hope that we can look into commissioning a real bronze statue of the bison so that everyone in the world to know that we are bison.
Oh, okay.
I'll stop there. You talked about some things that are relevant in terms of the learning environment. One of the challenges is really making the curricula throughout all of your programs, particularly in the STEM areas, more practical, where we take in technology to market. I really think I'd like to hear more of what your thoughts are on that. I know this is something that you champion.
Well, Eric, let me see if the president can at least begin to address, you know, these three points. You know, the international center issue. You said mascot. I'm thinking about a real bison. I was going to say, who's going to take care of that? But you said bronze statue. I get it, Mr. President.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting because we when I came in to the role, one of the concerns I had was that the logo we had was copyrighted by at the time, copyrighted by the Buffalo Bills. And they were changing ownership. I was concerned that we may get caught somewhere in that overhaul, and that could cost, you know, really cost us. So I went about a process to get a new logo. We did that. And in that process, the other thing that we had launched was looking at whether or not we can get a bronze statue commission. So we actually went through that. We got proposals. We actually started to narrow in on the finalists as well. So we've actually gone through a process to look at that. At the time, the concern that I had is we were changing the logo. I wanted to make sure that the logo was done, accepted, and we had it for at least some period of time that people would be comfortable, and so that the bronze statue would have some type of semblance to that. And that's kind of where that is right now. I think it's a great idea, especially when you rally around athletics.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think practically we have to invest in athletics significantly as well. In terms of international affairs, we do have the Bunch Center for International Affairs. And yes, we are very focused on activities such as study abroad. We're very focused on making sure that there is a continuous link with the local embassies, and that faculty who are involved and engaged in any type of activity in terms of cross pollination around academic issues internationally are connected as well to the Bunch Center. And I think that that is growing, and the experience there is getting better. We certainly have to expand it. There's no doubt about that. And we also have to really leverage through our Office of Development and Alumni Relations the alum that is scattered all over the world. So I think that that's something that you will continue to see us doing more of. In terms of innovation labs and how we leverage that technology, trying to bring some of what students may develop to market, I think, again, this is a great opportunity for universities in general, and definitely for Howard. So we have two of those right now that are in the process of being built on campus. One is being done with the district, and that innovation hub is on Georgia Avenue in that Wonder Plaza strip. That's a deal that we signed with the D.C. government. And as I said, those renovations are being done. That would bring venture capitalists. It would bring innovators and then our faculty and students together. And I think that that's a great milieu for an opportunity to bring things to market. We also have an innovation hub that we're using for the College of Engineering and Architecture and the middle school, which is housed in the College of the College of Engineering and Architecture right now. Again, a great opportunity, especially when you expose middle school students to that type of activity early on. I think we expect great things to come out of that as well. So I absolutely agree with Mr. Walker that these are, you know, the types of things that you'll see from Howard, and you'll see us continuing to advance.
Oh, Eric, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to talk a little bit more about an international piece. You had the Howard University medical team traveling to Haiti just this week, just a few days ago. Can you talk to me a little bit about what they are doing there?
Yeah, so you know the Howard University has a very strong connection to Haiti. And that connection has grown over time. We have you know, sent an ambulance there. We send folks every year. We now have elective rotations that students in the health sciences schools can participate in, dentistry, medicine, nursing and allied health. And it really is amazing. I had the opportunity to go to Haiti earlier this year and actually see it in practice, and it was a very humbling experience. What they described to me that they met the first time they went there to what is there now, because of the activity, partly because of the activity of Howard University's medical professionals, one of the organizations, NOAA of New York, has now been able to build a new clinic just outside of Cap Haitien in Haiti. And I'm telling you, you know, I see Howard University do a lot of things that are laudable, that unfortunately we may not get as much press for. But traveling to Haiti and being there for the opening of that clinic, the First Lady of Haiti was there on hand to open a clinic, is one of my proudest moments as president of this university, because the genuine service that we speak about and the giving of ourselves, I saw that in a tangible way in terms of what it was able to build, and how the people of Haiti were very appreciative. You know, people go during a crisis and they leave and they probably never go back, not taking anything away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Howard University has gone there and planted its flag and been back on a regular basis, and they're back there again right now.
When you went earlier this year, was this before the tropical storm and hurricane, or was this after?
Yeah, it was before the tropical storm. And even before the storm, you know, it's a country with difficulty around infrastructure. There's no doubt about that. It's not a country that can tolerate any type of a natural disaster. The infrastructure is challenged. And so, you know, every time they get a hit like this, it really is very difficult.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talk to me a little bit about World AIDS Day, December 1st, always, you know, an annual event. And there was, you know, Dr. Gulda Downer, who is, you know, a personal favorite of mine here at Howard University. She was also presented with an award regarding her work with HIV/AIDS.
Yeah. You know, two things. The World AIDS Day and what is some of the events that are put on this campus in particular. One of them I want to point out is called Stigma. I'm really trying to lift this cloud and shroud of shame, as it were, that unfortunately these sufferers have. I think is something that we have to really step back and take note of. This is put on by Dr. Rana and his folks, and I think not just laudable, but I think it's needed as well. And you're right, Dr. Downer has been really plugging away for some time, and I think she's been doing an excellent job. And she did just receive an award from the Institute of Caribbean Studies for her work in public health, and we congratulate her.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Dr. Wayne Frederick, president of Howard University, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are having our year-end conversation with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick. Lines are still open if you have a comment or question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk to you a little bit about our graduate school education. Washington Post reporting growth of graduate enrollment for for-profit colleges. Your thoughts about that, and are you seeing any growth here for grad school applications or with your counterparts at other HBCUs?
Yeah, you know, we're seeing growth in applications all around, but there are two things, actually I should say multiple things, when you look at these types of stories that you really need to dig under the surface. One is, what are the programs that people are flocking to? And is there something buried in that? And I think that some of that still is left to be determined. What exactly is attracting people? I could tell you here at Howard, we do have a wide variety of interests in graduate programs that's continuing to remain robust. And I think that says a lot about where, you know, people want to be. The second thing is when the economy improves, less people tend to seek an education. When the economy dips, people then go back to retool, you know, educate themselves again so that they have a better skill set so they can be more competitive in the job market. This recovery has been slow, and I think that has affected that pattern to some extent. And I think what we may be seeing now is some of the outcome of that slow growth instead of, you know, an economy that recovered quickly, and therefore people would have fled higher education, and that just, you know, isn't happening with this recovery. And I think it may be because of how slow the recovery has been, and I think that's something to look at. It's interesting that it's for-profit colleges. That always brings up a concern as to whether or not everything that's being done is being done robust. The government has obviously been really cracking down on for-profits in the sense of looking at predatory lending. At the graduate student level, there are different criteria in terms of their reporting, different regulations that govern what they report. So they don't have to report retention rates and that type of thing. The time to degree varies. If you're a grad student, if you're pursuing a PhD, that time to degree varies. So all of those things make this a very different conundrum, as it were. And I think this does need some analysis, and we're going to have to continue to watch the trend. But here at Howard University, we are, you know, poised and ready to, you know, bring in more students. We'd like to grow our grad programs as well. We continue to put out more PhD students from minority backgrounds than any other institution, specifically African-American students, from any resident graduate program in the country. And I think that's quite an achievement and something that, you know, we have to continue to make sure the quality is excellent.
Over the past 8 years, obviously, you've had an opportunity to interact with President Obama to talk about higher education, among other things. The last time you were here, it could be argued that no one thought that we would have a president-elect Trump. Well, now that we do, what do you hope to hear from him as it relates to higher education, HBCUs, funding, and the like? And have you written your presentation for him when you get the invitation to the new White House administration?
Yeah. So, well, a couple of things. You know, for the sake of full transparency, there are people associated with them that I have had the opportunity to interact with since the election and had an opportunity to interact before, as we did with folks from the Clinton campaign. I think for the university, it makes good sense for us to make sure that, you know, we have some connectivity and we're letting people know where we stand. I have to admit that I do have some concerns on this front. And my biggest concern is that President-elect Trump does not have a track record that we can glean from in terms of, you know, government or public service. And that's difficult to try to assess, you know, what exactly does someone think. He has had his own experience with higher ed, a for-profit institution, a Trump University, and we know that has been well adjudicated in the media.
It hasn't gone well. It's been expensive for him.
Right. Yeah. And so, again, you know, it's hard to just glean from just simply that. We've been looking at his appointee for his nominee, I should say, for Secretary of Education. You know, again, not someone with a lot of experience at the higher ed level. I'm not sure if she has a lot of background with HBCUs, but we've got to see who the undersecretaries, who the deputy secretaries are. And that's where sometimes you get more of the, you know, policy folks, the policy wonks, as it were, who may understand us better. We are prepared to tell our story. Mm-hmm. We think our story is a strong one. The return on investment that this country is continuing to get from investing in Howard and HBCUs is strong. When you look at STEM majors and you look at graduation around the country, HBCUs account for 34% of them. of the African Americans who are graduating from higher ed institutions in this country. When you look at all the bachelor's degrees that are provided to African American students, HBCUs account for 22% of them, despite the fact that we only account for 3-4% of all the higher ed institutions. So we're punching well above our weight as a group, and if this country is going to continue to have a diverse workforce in these different areas, I think you have to continue to make that investment. And I hope that that is exactly what the Trump administration is. But I do have some pause for concern, as I stated before.
What have you learned this year as you look back on 2016?
Well, you know, I think this has been a remarkable year for us. You look at coming into the year, we were extremely excited at Charter Day to have Ta-Nehisi Coates. He won the National Book Award. He was our Charter Day speaker. And I think the way he expresses what he thinks about Howard is just absolutely fantastic. He does it better than anyone that I know. You go into May for commencement, and you have the first African-American sitting president to come to Howard University for commencement. And I think it was a great way to send him off out of office in terms of doing commencement, and to send us into getting ready to celebrate our 150th anniversary. I think it was fantastic. We come into the fall with a focus to look at. We got our rankings in September, which, as you know, as I said before, when they're good, you know, everybody's happy. When they're bad, we complain about the rankings, the system. And I have to be consistent. I think the system is flawed. Nevertheless, we've moved up 21 points in the U.S. News and World Rankings over the past year. We ended the year with a strong fiscal year. The operational efficiencies are coming to fruition. We are building the academic fortitude. And then we had an election that, quite frankly, I think took the nation by shock. And I think in a lot of ways, people are still kind of walking around with some of that post-election, I would say almost depression, as it were, in some quarters, and probably exuberance and elation in others. I don't think the country has been this divided for quite some time. This is an opportunity for Howard University to step up and step in. I think that when there are crises like this, crises of identity, crises of direction in our nation, I think this is where Howard University does its best. Mm-hmm. And I think the young man who won the Rhodes, the two of the young people we spoke about, and the prestigious scholarships they won, I think is just a clarion sound to the rest of the world to say, you know, Howard University is still here. We will continue to do what is necessary to produce excellence, and excellence that can lead the nation to where it needs to be. So, you know, I think 2016, putting it all together, was a fantastic year.
I think that's a good place for us to end this conversation. As always, Dr. Frederick, it's always good to have you here, and I appreciate you coming in and sharing with us. And I certainly hope that you and your family have a peaceful and joyous holiday, and we look forward to, you know, seeing you in the new year.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Tuesday, December 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at HFisherWHUR, or at Daily Drum.